So I'm very excited. So last week, Pastor taught us to what? To be kind, right? Y'all remember the pastor's lesson from last week on the being kind? How many of you guys completed your homework assignments? You guys text some people. Very good. I'm proud of you. Encourage someone. So Pastor challenged us last week and reminded us that kindness isn't just something that we do, but it's our personality. It's our personality. It's actually our identity as we follow Christ. Amen. He taught us that we never know what someone else is carrying, and that kindness is a reflection of Jesus. Amen. And it's one thing to be kind when life is good, right? When everything's going your way, when people are treating you right. But it's another thing to remain forgiving when we've been constantly disappointed, betrayed, misunderstood, or hurt. So this week, I'm going to continue on the same verse of Ephesians that Pastor gave us last week, and I'm going to focus on the next instruction from that verse. And last week, we were challenged to be kind. This week, we're going to be challenged to be forgiving. Forgiving. So I know I have this southern twang, forgiving, F-O-R-G-I-V-I-N-G, not forgiven, because we're already forgiven, right? So I talk fast, but I hear everything I'm saying. I heard somebody the other day say, I talk fast. No, I don't talk fast. You're just listening slow. So I'm like, that wasn't very kind, right? But anyways, but I do talk fast. So I'm going to slow down, and I pray you hear everything that I'm saying, because I'm going to hear everything that I'm saying. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So this verse shows us that kindness and forgiveness, they are connected, right? And I don't know why, but for some reason, there are some people who just like to make things difficult, right? For some reason, everything is a big issue. Everything has to have an add-on to it. Everything has to always be their way or always has to be questioned. You know, I like to say that, you know, like we have the gift of the Spirit or the spirit of intercession, or we have the spirit of forgiveness or the spirit of love. I feel some people have the spirit of aggravation. Like they just operate out of just aggravating me, right? Or you, right? But kindness and forgiveness will be tested differently, right? Even though they're connected, they're going to be tested differently. Difficult people, they test our kindness. Like you try to be nice even when they've been messy, right? They test, but we can do it, right? Why? Because we learn how to be kind. But while painful experiences test whether or not we've truly learned how to forgive. And truth is, every one of us will be hurt at some time in our lives. Somebody's going to say something they shouldn't say. Somebody's going to let us down, right? Somebody's going to disappoint us. But the question isn't if we'll have the opportunity to forgive, but it's what we're going to do when that opportunity comes, okay? So we're all going to have the opportunity to walk in forgiveness, but are we going to walk in it? Everybody say, I'm going to walk in it. Okay, so our feelings tell us to hold on to the hurt. Our pride may even tell us to try and get even, but that's not what God's word commands us. Amen. God's word commands us to forgive, not because the offense wasn't real, not because the person necessarily deserves the forgiveness, but because we have been forgiven through Christ. Guess what? We have to also forgive others. Amen. So how many points do I have for you today? That's right. I'm going to stay just like my pastor, right? Three simple points. I almost gave y'all five, but I was like, nah, that's a little heavy. I'm playing. I did not have 5 points. Okay, 3 points. Okay, point number one is forgiveness begins with a tender heart. Forgiveness begins with a tender heart. So our verse just showed us that we are to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, right? So forgiveness doesn't begin with the other person changing. It begins with our hearts remaining soft before God. The real danger isn't what they did to us, but how we'll allow it to what it to do in us, right? So it's not what they did, but how am I going to allow it to affect me, right? So when you're tenderhearted, you still feel the pain, but you don't allow the pain to turn into bitterness, okay? So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we're going to read the NIV version. It says, above all else, do what? Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Many people think that guarding their hearts means shutting people out or becoming cold or refusing to trust again When we're hurt, our natural response is to do what? Build walls, right? So that we don't get hurt again. We tell ourselves, that'll never happen to me again. They got me once, they ain't gonna get me twice, right? Or we'll say stuff like, the next person gotta do this, and this, and that too, to get to me, right? Because we're saying we don't want to feel that hurt again, so we try to, you know, guard our hearts, right? But it makes us defensive. It makes us skeptical about people sometimes. And everyone has an ulterior motive. Why do they want to get close to me for? Why do they want my number? Well, maybe they're just trying to be nice, right? But because you're hurt, because you haven't forgiven, you're allowing the enemy to put different thoughts in your minds, right? When you guard your heart, that doesn't mean that you're hardening your heart, right? But guarding your heart means that you are protecting the condition of your heart, okay? A guarded heart still stays surrendered to God. And a hardened heart shuts God out. And if we're not careful, those walls that were meant to protect us can become prisons that keeps us from loving, from trusting, and from forgiving. But don't let people or situations make your heart so hard that God can't be tender, that God cannot allow it to be tender. Because again, situations come and they do not feel good. But at the same time, we have a God that shows us that we must walk in forgiveness. Amen. And one of the things that Pastor and I have really had to learn these past 19 years of pastoring is how to make sure our hearts remain tender. Because, you know, a lot of people come through your life. You know, people say, I'm with you. I got you. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. People, you know, you begin to trust what they say, right? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Because, I mean, you haven't given me any other reason not to believe you, so I'm going to trust what you say. But when things start going a different way, we can now not say, well, I ain't trusting nobody else to come through them doors. Because that's not fair to the next person, right? So we have to always allow ourselves to let the walls down. Yes, you want to keep your heart soft. You want to guard it and protect it, protect the condition of our heart. But we don't want to make sure that we don't keep good people out because of past pain. Amen. So we got to keep our hearts tender. Amen. Because God has great people that he wants you to bring in, but you can't bring them in if your heart is so hardened. Amen. So a tender heart is what we have to have. Apostle Paul said to be tenderhearted. Why? Because forgiveness cannot flow from a hard heart. Forgiveness cannot flow from a hard heart. A hardened heart struggles to forgive because it has become closed to God's word. And forgiveness begins with a heart that is still soft enough for God to shape it. And God tells us not to harden our hearts because he's promised to transform them. Ezekiel 36 and 26 says that he's going to give us a new heart, amen, and put a new spirit within us. He said, I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. He said, you have to be soft. And soft doesn't mean you're going to be getting ran over. You're just going to let people come in and just, you know, do what they want to do to you. But no, I'm going to allow Holy Spirit to direct me, right? Who can I trust in this moment? He will tell you if you ask, amen? He will always be there to help us. Your take-home statement for this week is a hardened heart keeps score while a tender heart extends grace. A hardened heart always keeps score while a tender heart extends grace. So you have to protect your heart more than your argument. And there are times when you're probably going to be right about what happened, and you may have every reason to feel hurt, but don't spend so much time or energy defending your position that you neglect the condition of your heart. Because I was thinking about so many instances I could share, but I was thinking about, let me just preface this. Pastor and I know people outside of Without Limits, okay? So don't try to think, oh, I know what you're talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about, okay? So I just want to just say, oh, because I don't want you to lose what I'm going because you're trying to think about, you know who I'm talking about, because you don't know who I'm talking about, all right? So there's a situation where this person and I, we had mutual friends, right? And so I could tell that, well, I knew that there were some things that were said because it got back to me from a very, very credible person, right? And so, you know, the thing is, you know, I'm like, okay, fine. You want to be in my face, but I know how you really are, right? So I was like, okay, fine. I'm not going to fool with you on that level. That's just because I feel you've shown me who you really are by what you're doing, right? So I'm going to be cordial. I'm going to be nice. You know, always want to text me. I'm going to text back. You know, but at the same time, I know what you did and I know what you said, right? But at the same time, I had to make sure because I told Pastor Fett, I think I could talk on forgiveness and now I'm playing. But I had to I mean, I just got to be real, right? Because my next point is forgiveness is a choice of faith and not a feeling, right? Because a lot of times we think that because we still feel something that we're not walking in forgiveness. That's not true. Because I felt a certain kind of way. Because I knew what the person was trying to do was to try to cause division. You know, she was trying to really manipulate situations because, you know, we were somewhere that she wasn't or where she wanted to be. And so, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to fool with her. But I'm going to be nice. But at the same time, don't stop texting me. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I felt. But I had to make sure that my heart did not become hardened because I knew the seeds that were being planted here and there and there. Like, no, I'm not going to let this person win. Right? I'm gonna be nice. If I see you, I'm gonna speak. I'm not going to lunch, but we're gonna be nice, right? Because forgiveness is to bring the person back into your space automatically. If it gets back to that place, that's all fine and well, but it does not mean that you're not walking in forgiveness because you have now redefined the relationship. Amen. So, but you can, amen. So a lot of stories I could share, but I'm going to do that one for right now, all right? But point number two, forgiveness is a choice of faith, and it's not a feeling. Because I just said it a moment ago, like you can, I'm sure if I gave you 2 seconds and said, think of somebody that you may not invite to your party, you may get like, Right? I mean, if you're not there, praise the Lord. We're all trying to get there, amen? But I'm saying forgiveness is a choice of faith, not a feeling. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they think forgiveness is a feeling. They think they have to feel differently about a person to be walking in forgiveness. Some people think that if you forgive somebody, that means that you have to be with them again and be around them again. That's not the case, right? And I remember one time with this same person, Holy Spirit told me that I need to reach out. I thought, well, it was Holy Spirit. I didn't want to listen. And so he said that I should, you know, text a person. And I said, I will not. I'm being very honest. I said, I will not. Did I do it? I did not. I didn't do it. I really did not. Was I right? Absolutely not. But at the same time, I was disobedient. I just got to call it what it was. But I ended up getting it right later, okay? But at the moment, I think I was still kind of like, well, I feel this way. And, you know, I was just really just being my feelings, right? And not allowing the Holy Spirit to be the loudest voice in my ear. And that's where we should not be. Amen. We should not be disobedient to what God is telling us to do. If he says, you know, reach out to somebody, be swift about it, because you never know what he's setting you up to do, right? He's setting you up for the freedom that you really thought you had. That wasn't real freedom, right? But he's saying, you know, follow me, let me be the loudest voice, right? So forgiveness is about praying for the person who hurt you and not talking bad about them to other people. Well, Jesus said, pray for your enemies, right? Bless and do not curse them. That means we ought to speak well of them and not evil of them. And I could do that. I ain't gonna say nothing bad about them. You know, so I felt I'm walking in forgiveness. Because if you ask me a question, I'm gonna be like, oh, very nice person. But on the other end, I ain't fooling with her. But she's a very nice person, right? So forgiveness, again, is can you pray for that person? And then there's other situations. I'm like, God ain't praying for them. Not no more. And Pastor said, babe, we got to pray for them. I said, I did. He said I had to pray every day, right? So I was like, no, you know. But so I was wrong, y'all, okay? I'm very transparent. I was wrong. Don't be like me in that moment. But I began to pray. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to pray nothing bad on them. I'm not. Because, you know, one thing I know is that God hears me when I pray. Every time I pray, God hears me. So you know what I pray? God opened their eyes and let them see they're wrong. Because again, I didn't pray nothing harmful. I didn't pray anything. I didn't necessarily pray bless them with a house, but I did pray, you know. But I prayed, right? I prayed. Okay. Okay. That's where I was, right? Again, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision that you make that you're going to treat, how you're going to treat people, and how you're going to talk about them, and how you're going to pray for them. Okay, again, we don't always want to pray for them, but that's not, but God said we have to, right? And how many know we must be in God's will at all times, amen? We want to be pleasing to him, amen? So even if you don't feel like praying for them, you know what? God, I just thank you that their eyes are open to what they've done, right? That's not a curse, right? And that's, and honestly, God would give them the, I'm sure that person, if they know they hurt you, I'm sure Holy Spirit is already tugging on their heart. So let's pray that they begin to be receptive to the tugging of their heart. The Holy Spirit has already been tugging on their heart. Amen. But, you know, you have these some people who don't even know that they've offended you. So how can they, you know, try and how do they even know that you're even upset with them? Because they didn't know they did anything. Right. So you have to make sure that you're not harboring something on the inside of you, because some people don't even know that they've even hurt you. Amen. So when we obey and pray for our enemies, we are believing that God really is going to hear our prayer. Amen. Forgiveness isn't pretending that it didn't happen, but it's choosing to release the offense. Forgiveness doesn't begin when the pain disappears. It begins the moment you decide to trust God with the hurt. It's not approval. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not automatically reconciliation. But forgiveness is releasing someone from the debt that you feel they owe you. They did this to me. They got to pay. They going to pay for this. Right? That's how we feel sometimes. But Paul even understood back then, and it's still very true today, that whenever you put imperfect people together, there are going to be misunderstandings, there's going to be disappointments, there's going to be offenses, right? But he gives us a commandment here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, bearing with one another, and do what? Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So when we are people, we're all imperfect people, right? We all have our own way of thinking. We all have our own way of doing things. We all have our own way of, you know, this is just how it should go. But so you're going to sometimes have clashes, right? You're going to sometimes butt heads. But at the end of the day, we have to learn how to bear one another, put up with them, endure patiently, tolerate with love, make allowances for their weaknesses and their shortcomings, right? Be patient with someone without giving up on them. We've got to learn how to, you know what, be patient with people. Because again, everybody doesn't learn as fast as you, right? Because you're, you know, just this very, very smart person. That doesn't mean that they can pick up as quickly as you can, right? People learn on different levels in different ways. So we have to learn how to bear one another. And then the last two words, can you put the verse back up for me one more time, please? The last two words of that verse says, we must do what? Must do. We must forgive. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also what? Must do. So if God has been patient with us, we can be patient with one another. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God is patient with me. Even when I didn't feel like forgiven, even though I thought I was that fake forgiven, I said, no, I'm not walking in unforgiveness. Well, I really don't know what I was walking in, but it wasn't right, right? Right? So I'm glad that he was patient with me, so that way I could stop being a knucklehead, because I ain't like how she did that. Well, you know, that's fine. That's all fine and well. It didn't stop anything, right? So we cannot allow ourselves to miss out on what God wants to do in our lives because we're walking in unforgiveness. Amen? It says, so if God has forgiven us, we can forgive one another, right? Paul didn't say, if you feel like it. He didn't say, if they apologize. He didn't say, if enough time has passed away. He said, we must do. We got to forgive, right? So, lady, tell me, who should I forgive? I'm so glad you asked. That teacher that didn't give your baby that one point to pass their exam. Forgive them. I know you're mad at them. Girl, you could have gave my baby that point. I'm going to give her a bad review at the end of the school term. Forgive them, right? Don't hold the grudge. Baby, just take the exam again. That's all you got to do, right? That person on your job that's always being messy, you got to forgive them, right? That man or that woman that keeps staying in your baby's, you know, inbox, the DMs, you got to forgive them after you talk to them. Leave my baby alone, right? You know they're married, and they keep trying to mess with them. No. Talk to them, forgive them, right? And you also, you got to forgive yourselves for allowing yourself to allow people to mishandle you. Because that's something I dealt with for a long time. No, I'm here because I created this. Because I kept being nice. Because I kept saying it was okay for this to go on and go on and on. No, I'm here because of me. Because honestly, truth be told, people are going to do what you allow them to do. So you can't necessarily be mad. Yes, they have a part to play. But because you allowed it to happen, you got to forgive yourself. You know what? Okay, I'm here. God, I'm sorry. Because, you know, I'm tired of living like this. So you got to forgive yourself for allowing people to mishandle you for so long. Amen? Paul says we must do. He didn't say forgive when you feel better. He tells us here that forgiveness is an act of obedience because we have already been forgiven. Amen? Matthew 18:21, real quick, says, Peter said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Peter said, 7 times, right? I got to do it 7 times, right? I could do that. But Jesus said, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. So Jesus wasn't saying, okay, 490 times and you're done. Okay, he wasn't literally saying 490 times. But what he was saying is, you know, you got to stop counting. Stop keeping record of it, right? You just got to keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving. Why? Because when we keep counting, the offense keeps the wound open, right? When we keep thinking about it, we keep rehearsing the pain. But we got to remind ourselves, you know what? God forgave me. I got to forgive them, right? So again, forgiveness chooses to release the record and trust God with the justice. Romans 12:19 says, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, for it is written, what? Vengeance is mine, and I'm going to repay. So every time I forgive, I'm saying, God, I trust you to handle what I can't handle. I trust you to handle what I can't handle. Yeah, forgiveness may feel like it's an unfair gift, but guess what? God gave me the gift of forgiveness. I'm going to extend that same gift to them. Amen. Forgiveness is also the gift of healing. I begin to get healed whenever I release the offense. Amen. While it's not fair what they did to you, God said, I'm going to bring justice. So you don't worry about it. God is the only one who can take wrong things and make them right. And God will do just that when we trust him to handle what we cannot handle. Amen. My last and final point, forgiveness is a reflection of God's heart. Have you been blessed so far? Yes. Forgiveness is a reflection of God's heart. And this should be our motivation behind every act of forgiveness. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We don't forgive because people necessarily deserve it. We forgive because at one time we didn't deserve it, but God forgave us anyway. Amen. Amen. Because at one point, you know, he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for us. And because of his dying, because of him forgiving us, we're here today. Amen. We forgive from a place of forgiveness, not for forgiveness. In other words, the forgiveness we extend to others flows from the forgiveness that we have already experienced. God forgave us first, and he forgave us completely. So just like God didn't wait for us to deserve our forgiveness, he calls us to forgive others from that same place of grace. Amen. Luke 23:34, and this is my last scripture. It says, Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. I love this scripture because what blows my mind about this verse is when Jesus said all this. The place he was at when he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was on the cross, nails in hands, right? He didn't wait until the nails were removed to offer forgiveness. He didn't wait until the pain had stopped to offer forgiveness. He didn't wait for them to offer an apology. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, you are the King of Jews. He didn't wait for an apology to say, forgive them, Lord. He didn't wait for them to realize they were wrong. He said, no, he forgave while the wound was still fresh. So even in the pain, he still forgave, amen? Jesus chose compassion over bitterness. And Jesus was a bad man because I probably would have been whatever. But thank God he's not like us, right? I mean, that's a wonderful example that we can model our lives after. Even while the wound was fresh, he forgave you. I'm ready, maestro number two. Hey, Fonz. Jesus shows compassion over bitterness. The very people that mocked him, they spit on him, right? Beat him, nailed him to the cross, were the very people that he prayed for. And here we are, we can't handle somebody lying on us. Well, but those are the same people he said, Father, forgive them. He didn't say, Father, judge them. He didn't say, get them back. He said, forgive them. Forgiveness doesn't mean what they did was acceptable. It means you refuse to let what they did define who you choose to become. He didn't take revenge. He placed the entire situation into God's hands. So when we forgive, we're saying, God, I trust you to handle what hurt me better than I ever could. And that's why forgiveness is a choice of faith, right? We have to choose to forgive. The cross teaches us that forgiveness doesn't erase the scars because Jesus still had the scars after the resurrection, right? But the scars no longer represented the pain and the shame, but it represented victory, right? And in our own lives, forgiveness doesn't always erase what happened to us, but it changes what it means. Instead of becoming a source of bitterness for us, it becomes a testimony of God's grace. And if Jesus could forgive from the cross, he can give us the strength we need to forgive from our pain. When we forgive, we reflect God's heart because we are choosing mercy over revenge. We are choosing grace over resentment, and we are choosing faith over our feelings. And my last take-home statement is, when we forgive, it does not change the past. But when we forgive, we are refusing to let the past control our future. And that's all I have for you on today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for just being good. And thank you, Father God, for who you are in our lives on today. We choose to walk in forgiveness. No matter what may have happened to us before we entered these doors today, it is not greater than you. It is not greater than the pain that we feel. You are able to take all the pain away, Father. We thank you that those scars that have happened to us, Father God, they are changing their meaning in our lives. They are now symbols of your grace that you were there to help us get through it, Father. So we thank you, Father God, that we're leaving this place this morning free. We're leaving better than we came. We have a new outlook and a new perspective on our hurt, on our pain, on our disappointments, Father God. We thank you that you are helping us walk through it in victory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I pray you were blessed on this morning. Let's stand all over the building on today.